Saying that photography is not a crime, activists protesting a judge's order file a federal lawsuit, claiming their free speech is being trampled. We'll take your calls on that in just a moment. And good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. The show is always live at 9, and now catch our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just ahead, we'll take your calls on this dispute over banning photos and videotaping outside the Duval County Courthouse. What do you think about that? Give us a call at 549-2937. Then later, a closer look at a controversial proposal to withdraw large amounts of water from the Florida aquifer, plus The Spectator and comic star Gallagher himself in studio. All of that ahead. But first this morning, a federal lawsuit has been filed after Chief Judge Mark Mahan in this city issued an administrative order banning photography and videotaping outside the Duval County Courthouse. Activists with the group Photography is Not a Crime call the ban unconstitutional. Mahan issued this order on July 1. In part, it banned demonstrations or dissemination of materials on the courthouse grounds that degrade or call into question the integrity of the court or its judges. The order also banned people from videotaping all security features of the courthouse, including non-public entrances or exits. After public outcry, the judge eliminated the ban against protests questioning the court's integrity, but he kept that video ban in place, citing security concerns. This morning, we're beginning the hour with a closer look at this flap. Joining us now, Tom Covenant, activist with PINAC. That's Photography is Not a Crime. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Covenant's attorney, Andrew Bondarude. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Lots of calls already. What are your thoughts about this dispute over banning photography and videotaping on the grounds outside the Duval County Courthouse? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet us. We're already getting a lot of comments on Facebook. We'll get to all of those in just a little bit. But first, Tom Covenant, you're an activist with PINAC. Can you tell us what sparked this whole dispute?
Well, originally, another PINAC reporter was actually stopped from displaying signs on the courthouse steps. And
what did the signs say?
Really, a number of things. I don't exactly remember, Mr. Bunder. This was just freedom of speech issues.
Okay. So you were stopped from displaying signs, picket signs.
That would be correct. The gentleman's name was Mike Hoffman.
And at a certain point, you tried to videotape as well?
No, not at that time.
This just involved signage?
Yes.
Okay. Andrew Bondarude, Chief Judge Mark Mahan, issued this administrative order on July 1st banning any demonstrations that call into question the integrity of the court or its judges, and he also banned everyone from videotaping outside the courthouse. Why have you filed a federal lawsuit in protest of this administrative order?
When I first saw the order, I was very taken aback at the very clear prior restraint that it was on political speech. It was a viewpoint-based prohibition and criminalization of a particular viewpoint, and so I thought we definitely need to take action.
You went so far as to say, telling the Florida Times Union, this is ripped straight from the pages of Fidel Castro's standard operating plan.
That's right. And
why did you say that?
I said because it's true. It's very shocking. It's political censorship, and that is the principal tool that Fidel Castro has used to keep his revolution alive down in Cuba.
And why did the judge issue this order? It wasn't simply because of picket signs outside the courthouse, was it?
Well, I don't know.
I
don't know all of the things that went into forming this order. I don't know if it was by committee. I don't know all the inner workings. The only thing I have knowledge of is the contents of the order that was issued, and
You filed suit. You filed a federal lawsuit asking that the order be rescinded. The Washington Post has written about this, calling it overreach. So this is achieving national publicity. Tom Covenant, Chief Judge Mahan isn't commenting, but The rationale for this order is courthouse security.
That's correct.
That there are concerns about courthouse security. What about that argument?
Well, I consider that blatantly an untruthful statement. If you walk around the courthouse, there are cameras on every corner. There are cameras in the middle. And the issue that really struck home with my partner and I, his name is Jeff Gray, is we were on Broad Street across from the what they call the Sally Port, and that's the entrance into the court, like the judges and the court officials' parking lot. It's well lit. It's fully viewable from across the street. In fact, I ride the city bus. I rode past there on the city bus. Sally Port was open. I could see all the way to the back. We were across the street with video cameras, filming court officials as they drove in and out of that. And that's the main, that's what they call security, except everybody can see them, anybody on the sidewalk on either side, bus passengers, car drivers, their passengers.
You and your partner were filming with a video camera outside the judge's garage last week. According to published reports, a police officer told you to cease and desist or said you'd be arrested.
And also to leave the area.
Why were you filming outside the judge's garage?
The thing that we do is we challenge the what we call violations of the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and also freedom of the press. Any government official that is out in public can be videotaped. I mean, there is a ruling already, and it's called Smith v. Cumming, right, that specifically makes that, a right for us. And our big thing is we just make sure that the government understands that we do have the right to videotape things of what we call public interest. And so, that's what we were doing.
We'll go to your calls on this in just a moment at 549-2937. The federal lawsuit, what's the status of it right now?
We had a status hearing yesterday, and we had to acknowledge that our motion for temporary restraining order is probably moot because of the new order that was issued day before yesterday. So we will file an amended complaint and a renewed motion for injunctive relief. And, this goes beyond just the First Amendment. It's also, we've raised a number of other issues, including 14th Amendment problems with it, to restrict any photography or videography of security features of the courthouse is quite vague because you wonder, well, is the window tinting a security feature? Is the reinforced wall a security feature? What about the locks on the doors? What about the doors? It seems to me that those would be security features, and any videoing of that is potentially criminalized.
The widely read Volokh conspiracy blog on the Washington Post, Eugene Volokh, picked up the story a few days ago and writes, the ban is likely too broad to be constitutional despite the judge's security concerns. Among other things, judges' faces and cars cannot be treated as secret matters that may not be photographed, even despite the potential risk the public ability of this information creates. But the law related to permissible restrictions on photography and video recording in public places is less well settled than the law related to outright speech restrictions. So the constitutionality of this provision is less clear. So we're talking about two things. Free speech outside the courthouse, flyers, picket signs, mm-hmm. That's one area. And then there's the second matter, which involves taking pictures and shooting video. Mm-hmm. Two different areas here. Tom.
Okay. The amazing thing to me is there's this gentleman that resides in a White House in Washington, D.C. that does not have the level of supposed security that the circuit judges have in Jacksonville. We can videotape the President of the United States almost at will if we can see him. They're not restricted. And yet here we are with basically a county judge saying that we can't videotape them on a public street from a public sidewalk.
Let's go to your calls right now as we speak with Pinnack. Photography is not a crime, and take your calls on this federal lawsuit they've filed against the ban on videography and photos outside the Duval County Courthouse, 549-2937. Lori on the west side. Go ahead, Lori. Good morning.
I just have one question is, if they're not allowed to videotape, Is the security companies going to turn all their cameras off? Because even that's hackable today. And if somebody sits on the side of the street, they can sit and write down the tag numbers and describe. So I don't understand this. It seems to me kind of overreach from the authority side.
That's Lori on the west side. Andrew.
And we raised a similar issue as the one that was just raised by the caller in our lawsuit. Anyone can go to Google Maps right now and in granular detail view just about every square inch on the exterior of the courthouse. So when you balance the burden against the benefit of this administrative order, we think it doesn't make sense.
John in Fernandina Beach. Good morning, John. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I'm John Merritt. I was a former circuit judge here in Duval County.
Judge Merritt. Good morning.
Yeah, sort of. I guess that my comment would be that security is the creed of the tyrant. It's nobody's business to stop people from viewing public employees going about their public business. It is legally infringement to videotape inside a courtroom while a murder trial is going on. Surely, when a judge drives his vehicle down a public street and into an open bay, his vehicle can be photographed and taped. We're not secret agents. We're not hidden from the public. We're agents of the public for the administration of justice, and it is an outrage to keep the people away from the public facility that is a courthouse. And the main thing that I wanted to say is that I am available to help in any way that I can with this lawsuit. If these orders are as they have been depicted, they are dead wrong, they are unconstitutional, and they conflict with everything that people have fought and died for in this country.
Well, let me ask you as a follow-up, former Judge Merritt, thanks for calling into the program, by the way. What do you think is behind Chief Judge Mahan's motivation as someone who had been his former colleague, I assume, to put this order into place?
I know Judge Mahan, and I am sure that he is motivated by genuine concern for the welfare of the people who work at the courthouse. But the fact is, if you are going to take the king's shilling, if you are going to work for the government, you are taking risk, and you have to accept it. And I think he's trying to protect his people, which is a noble and a laudable thing, but I think he's neglected the idea that there is risk involved in making decisions that affect people's lives.
That's former Duval County Circuit Judge John Merritt calling into the show. Thanks so much for your call this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do need to point out Chief Judge Mark Mahan has refused comment on this, by the way. But what's your reaction to the former judge's remarks?
Two things. First of all, Judge Merritt, you can count on me reaching out to you. So I appreciate that. The second thing, it's real interesting, this concept of Praetorian guards in our systems of government, state and federal. It was an issue that came up in the Supreme Court somewhat recently with a case where there were demonstrators who were moved and segregated by the president's Secret Service staff. And during oral arguments in that case, I think it was Justice Breyer that raised the issue that this is a real concern. There were different interests at stake in that case, but it's an issue that I think is very relevant here, which is that, these are public officials and my clients are simply trying to hold their government accountable.
Lots of feedback on social media. Meanwhile, Bill emails the show, restrictions on videotaping outside the courthouse are offensive and embarrassing. Police need a warrant to record a private conversation, but citizens recording in a public place do not. Banning citizens from recording in public places comes off as an effort to protect the rich and powerful from public scrutiny. That's Bill in Jacksonville. And lots of comments on our Facebook page. Here's one from Dan. The judge has abridged their rights, he writes. There are exceptions to the rule, especially if it pertains to public safety during high-profile events, but day-to-day restrictions are unconstitutional. Lol, when you can't speak out against the government, then all hope is lost. Paula, how far outside the courthouse? If you're not on the premises, you should not be molested. That's a question. How far does the ban extend outside the courthouse building?
Well, that's the big question that we ask, and I call it the dome of security. Where does it start? I mean, when Jeff and I are out there, is it the corner of Adams and Broad Street?
Is the order not specific?
It is not specific. It just says... We can't videotape. That's it.
Let's go to Steve on the south side. Hi, Steve. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have got a very practical dollars and cents type of question for you. I'm assuming that since this is a constitutional issue, that the attorneys will be entitled to a fee if they are successful in their action. Is that correct?
Attorney's fees. How are you handling that, Andrew?
Well, we have sued under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, and there is an attorney's fees provision under the related section 1988. So we have sought, we have made a request for attorney's fees and costs, but quite frankly, it's not a concern to me.
You're doing it for the principal?
Absolutely.
You're the son of Cuban immigrants, is that right? Personal for you?
It's very personal to me. My mother is from Cuba. She was born in Havana. And I had a great opportunity to spend 4 months over there while I was a college student. And I saw firsthand the way that their government operates. And, political censorship and keeping the people away from their government officials is the way they've been able to manage for more than 50 years.
Larry is in downtown Jacksonville. Go ahead, Larry. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I would just like to say that I think that what the judge's rule is unconstitutional, and I think everybody should have the right to videotape or wear a Confederate T-shirt or whatever they want to do. That's what makes this country great. But let me say this to you. And this you can't prove, and this is just my take. I think that the videotaping of judges in their cars is a form of a threat, and it's a form of a threat in that, you know, you probably made a ruling that we don't agree with, and we're videotaping your car, and one of these days some nut is going to take that and kill somebody. Now, how do you prevent that? I don't know, but you can never convince me that these people are just out photographing judges in their cars just because they have nothing else to do. It is a form of a threat against a judge. That's all my take is.
Thanks, Larry. Tom, what about that? Why do you need to photograph a judge in his car or her car as they're leaving the courthouse?
Well, let me step it down a minute. Would you consider it a security threat if a person was out there with their eyes and a notebook pad and a pencil and writing their tag numbers down? I mean, obviously, these judges' pictures are all over the papers. Their faces are well known.
But what about his question, though? Why do you want to photograph judges or videotape them as they're leaving the courthouse? What's the purpose of that?
Okay, the main thing is the judge is the highest official in that building. We want to go where the most visibility will be to the press and then to the people of this, the Duval County in Florida.
But is there a particular case, a particular reason why you want to do this?
No, Jeff nor I have no legal dealings with Judge Mahan at all.
You're doing this just for the principle to establish
that
photographing or videotaping public officials is allowable under the First Amendment.
The title, the name of our business, and that's not a business, is photography is not a crime.
Okay, let's go to Carl on the south side. Go ahead, Carl.
Hi, Tom, and also Michael, how are you? Michael, I was devastated last night when the ruling came in. By the way, my son and I are the ones that put the ICE video up about a month or so ago. My question is, are you guys going to continue on with the First Amendment testing and Also, a quick comment that people call you guys rabble-rousers and just troublemakers all the time, and I don't think that people understand that the point of this is to establish our rights. People are getting arrested and harassed for doing things that is perfectly legal, and they don't understand that the point is that it's legal. So we're getting it out there that we shouldn't be harassed for, doing something that's constitutionally protected.
Thanks, Carl. Bill in Neptune Beach. Go ahead, Bill. Bill in Neptune Beach, are you there? All right, Bill. Thanks for calling anyway. Andrew Bondarud, let's close with you. You had a telephonic hearing on this lawsuit. What are the next steps?
We're going to file an amended complaint and a renewed motion for injunctive relief, and we're going to continue to pursue the remedies that we've articulated. We need to make sure that my client's First Amendment rights are protected, and really, it's not only about their rights, but about the public's rights.
Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
He's Tom Covenant, activist with PNAC. Photography is not a crime, and his attorney, Andrew Bondarud, in studio. Much more still ahead later. Don't miss it as Gallagher and friends take over Studio 5, a preview of their big show tonight at Jacksonville's Comedy Club. But up next, why activists are speaking out against a controversial proposal to withdraw water from the St. Johns River. That's in a moment.
On the next reveal, a doctor who has to act like a detective just to treat his patients.
They were careful encounters, always sworn to secrecy.
Tracking down the trade secrets behind sick workers at the most innovative high-tech companies in the world. That's on the next reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
New name, new look. Join us for our annual Women's Health Conference, Girls Day Out, August 15th, Hyatt Regency Hotel. Afternoon keynote speaker Dinah Jordan's motivational messages ring loud and true about how we can make the choice to be happy, finding the funny in your life, taking responsibility for your own health, ways to bust stress, and in doing these four things can make a happier, healthier, more productive you. Good for You, Girls Day Out is hosted by Baptist Health and WJCT. For a complete list of speakers or to purchase your tickets, log on to wjct.org/goodforyou.
WJCT's new weekend programs are here. Tune in to 89.9 Saturday and Sunday for brand new shows and old favorites at a new time. Join us for True Stories Told Live on the Moth Radio Hour, live comedy and music on Wits, and Storytelling with a Beat on Snap Judgment. Learn more and see the new schedule at wjct.org/weekends.
Welcome back. Well, next week, the St. Johns River Water Management District will hear feedback about a controversial proposal involving large water withdrawals from the Florida aquifer. Here to tell us more, St. Johns River keeper Lisa Reinemann. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Linda Bramer with the Sierra Club local chapter. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And the number to join us with calls about this is 549-2937. Lisa, let's begin with you. This involves the Sleepy Creek Ranch, formerly known as the Adena Spring Ranch in Marion County, a large cattle farming operation. And it's the request from the owner to withdraw water. Can you tell us why this is an issue?
Most definitely. This cattle ranch is simply in the wrong place. They're wanting to do a grass-fed beef operation. It's very intensive use, and it's in sandy soil. So they're wanting to fatten up a lot of cattle, a lot of cows, in a sandy soil area that takes lots of water and lots of fertilizer. And so when you pull water out, you do damage to the silver springs and to the waterways in the area, as well as the fertilizer and the addition of large amounts of manure will cause a significant pollution problem to an area that's severely impaired, and this is one of the largest tributaries to the St. Johns River. So it's going to do lots of damage to multiple waterways, and it's just simply the wrong use in the wrong place.
Why is the Sierra Club involved? Linda?
Well, Sierra Club has long been concerned about the amount of water usage that is being pulled from our aquifer. But the main thing that we're concerned about is the damage to the Silver River, the Ocklawaha River, and Silver Springs. Those are iconic water bodies in Florida. They are beautiful natural resources, and they are being damaged by overuse and pollution.
Now, in April, the hearing judge ruled against the challenge to these permits. So now the Board of the Water Management District will listen to your arguments at their meeting on July 14th. You'll be making this case before them. What about the other side of the argument? The cattle rancher isn't commenting, but he's sure to make the argument that he needs to be free to run his business. What about that argument?
Well, sure. And the problem is this area is already severely polluted. Silver Springs, current pollution, the state has said, needs to be reduced by nearly 80%. And so we're spending millions of dollars of tax money to try to clean up this springs. And so this is adding just salt into the wounds of Silver Springs. So it's basically a subsidy to this cattle farmer to have additional pollution in the area. They did get very smart. Unfortunately, what they've done, they phased in this damage. So they're doing three permits instead of one permit. And so the first permit, which we're going to have the discussion about on Tuesday in Palatka, is for the first phase. And so what they're doing is they're not looking at cumulative impacts. Our fight on this first permit has actually led to a proposed denial of the second permit. And so it shows that the damage will be done. The science is there. But they were very smart on the cattle rancher side to phase it in. But that does not, it dilutes the impact of each permit, but it does not dilute the overall problem. And so it is a severe problem, not only to residents in the area, the waterways, but also the taxpayers of Florida.
Your larger concern, Linda, is the Florida aquifer over and above whatever goes on with this cattle ranch, correct?
Yes, that's right. Silver Springs, for example, in the 1930s and 40s, used to have a spring shed that went all the way up to Palatka area and all the way south into Lake County. And now it has been whittled away and whittled away by permitted water permits for wells and for golf courses and for household utility use and things like that. Until now, the number of permits that are pulling water out of the aquifer in that area are they have reduced the amount of water in that area by almost, as Lisa said, almost 80%, and the amount of pollution that's going into that area has greatly increased.
We tend to think of water in Florida as just a constantly replenished resource, unlike states such as, say, California, where they're dealing with severe water shortages now in a real way. Do you see this as an existential threat in the coming decades, just not having an availability for clean, fresh, plentiful water?
Most definitely. I mean, the good thing is our aquifer has historically been extremely plentiful, but the problem is we're pulling more water out today than it's being replenished naturally by rainfall. And so we're using more than what's in our budget, what's in our balance. We're overdrawn. And so right now, water planners have identified that there is a problem with our aquifer. And instead of focusing on aggressive water conservation and denying permits that are going to only make the problem worse, they're just looking for alternative water supply. They're trying to create new water. And that's why there's another future fight that we're working on about 150 million gallons of fresh water coming from the St. John's to try to offset and unfortunately, unfortunately, instead of live within our water means, focus on fueling unbridled growth, and that's simply not sustainable in the state of Florida.
Where is the Board of the Water Management District on this?
You know, they're probably going to side. I mean, based on our count at the moment, there are some no votes that are looking at the science. They understand the cumulative impacts. However, with the judge's order, they're all meeting right now with their attorneys, and so I don't have a vote count, but more than likely, based on previous votes, are going to vote with them. However, the public will come out. There was a four-hour public hearing where folks came out to voice their concern to the judge, and fortunately, the judge did not consider that in his testimony, in his recommended order. And so the district needs to really listen to the public. Is this in the public interest when there's so many problems already in that area?
So you'll be trooping down to Palatka next week to make your voice heard on the 14th. Is that correct?
That's right, and we're hoping that the public will come to that meeting because the board members never saw. Over 200 people came and shared their concerns with the judge, some of the people were adjacent property owners who said of the things that they had seen that were going on the ranch property as of today, but also the people who kayak, the people who canoe and swim, and historically have loved Silver Springs. And they came out and they spoke, and unfortunately that testimony, which went on, as Lisa said, for 4 hours, was never given to the board members. It's never been considered. So that's a terrible thing, when the public is speaking and the public is being ignored.
And also, many of the technical scientists who worked on this with the district, they've unfortunately been let go. And so there's been a lot of institutional knowledge that's been lost at the district. And so there's been a really push from Tallahassee to approve these permits. And so that's why we expect approval, but we want to make sure that the public has a voice. You could actually contact these board members. If you go to stjohnsriverkeeper.org, you can hear about all the details on this, as well as get the emails for these board members and information on how to join us at this important meeting next Tuesday.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Linda Brammer and Lisa Reinemann in studio just now. And we're back in a moment with The Spectator, but keep listening as well for comedy star Gallagher and friends.
WJZT, the Cultural Council of Greater Jacksonville, and Grassroots Natural Market are accepting submissions from local artists for The Square. The Square is an online venue where local artists share their work with the community and compete for a chance to be featured on WJZT-TV and radio. Submit now through July 31st. To learn more about The Square and to submit your work, visit wjzt.org/thesquare.
Who is your American Graduate Champion? WJCT is looking to recognize and honor a wide range of community leaders and everyday heroes who regularly dedicate their time, talent, and resources to prepare students for success and graduation. American Graduate Champions are role models in their communities whose stories have the potential to inspire others to take action. The nomination deadline is July 15th at 5 p.m. Click the button on WJCT.org to nominate your American Graduate Champion today.
Wherever you spend your morning, NPR's Morning Edition is there with you. Wherever the story takes place, NPR's Morning Edition connects it with you.
Dallas.
Des Moines.
Topeka.
Montana.
Cleveland.
San Francisco.
Denver.
Philadelphia.
Minneapolis.
Miami.
Colorado.
Washington.
You will own your morning, wherever you are, when you choose to spend tomorrow with Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekday mornings beginning at 5 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
I'm Christian McBride. This week on Jazz Night in America, a celebration of saxophonist Coleman Hawkins.
Coleman Hawkins really did stand for, like, eternal, restless, questioning, roll the dice, go for it.
For me, the celebration of Coleman Hawkins is the celebration of all beautiful things.
Pianist Eric Reed leads the quintet. That's this week on Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Lots to do across the First Coast this weekend. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, thespectator.com's Carrie Speckman.
Yay!
Here today. And you were just in the green room with none other than Gallagher.
Oh my God, I walked around the corner and I was
there,
like,
there he is.
There's Gallagher.
Well, he'll be on the show with his friends in just a few minutes.
I know that.
So just, we'll talk about that show in a minute, but lots going on.
Lots going on. Tonight is Shaggy at Maverick. She may remember him from the song, which I'm not going to sing.
Oh.
It wasn't me. I don't know if enough words to sing. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Him.
He's coming to town?
To Maverick's. They are branching out over there.
They really are. That's at the Landing, so go see that.
Of course. The Elbow Bender. Are you familiar with Elbow?
The Downtown Entertainment District? Sure.
Oh, look at you.
Yep. I'm so hip now.
They are having the Elbow Bender, and they're going to have a bunch of bars and restaurants. They have music and all kinds of fun stuff, and it's to kick off. You're smiling over there. I think you found something.
No. I'm just looking through your list with my usual mixture of delight and confusion. You know, it's always an eclectic mix of items.
Can I quote you on that? Anyway, this kicks off at 6, and it's kicking off every Thursday. They're going to start doing beer specials and fun stuff, live music.
All right, now, Gallagher, fun fact, Gallagher ran for governor of California in 2003. He will be in studio shortly.
As did Gary Coleman.
Yes, of Different Strokes fame.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
who actually won.
Yes.
So that's Gallagher tonight, Friday and Saturday at the Comedy Club of Jack's. Keep listening for him. And then there's another comedy club. I didn't know this, down in St. Augustine.
Gypsy Comedy Club. It's in the Gypsy Cab Company.
In the Gypsy Cab Company.
And Mick Foley, who you may remember as the wrestler Mankind, or maybe you remember him as Dude Love or Cactus Jack.
He'll be there.
He'll be there tonight and Friday.
Let's talk for a minute about the best concert in town this weekend at the St. Augustine Amphitheater. It's the Bare Naked Ladies, Violent Femmes, and Colin Hay, the former lead singer from Men at Work. I am really actually very disappointed that I will not be going to this concert.
Well, certainly with your cachet and this...
I tried to get an interview, too, with the ladies.
The
BNL, as they're known. I was denied.
Like, to your face, not just ignored, but
just
denied.
Just basically ignored, yeah.
Oh, well,
and I love the ladies. I love those
Is
guys.
Is that going to affect your love of the ladies?
No, I'll always love them.
Okay.
But that's Saturday night.
They put on a great show, not to rub it in.
They really do.
But they do.
They really do. Yeah. Okay. Also Saturday, the River City Rat Pack.
Yes. It's the Roller Girls.
It's the Roller Girls.
If I do fall.
That's right.
As they always say, it's the Palm Coast Roller Derby and the First Coast Fatales will get it on with the Derby. No, it's River City Rat Pack and Palm Coast Roller Derby and First Coast Fatales and Duval Derby
and
Games.
And that's at the Mandarin Skate Station, some real roller derby Saturday night.
If you've never been, it's very entertaining.
Okay.
But I wouldn't sit too close.
All right. Sunday, the Florida Theater is doing their classic movie series. Wait a minute. They're doing The Breakfast Club?
The Breakfast Club.
Are they really?
They are.
I love it.
And I took a quiz. Which Breakfast Club character are you? I got the Molly Ringwald one.
Are you not happy with that?
No, I really wanted to get... I think her name was Allison.
You wanted the Ally Sheedy character?
Yeah, I did.
I would have probably got the John Bender character.
How did I get
her? He's my favorite.
Claire.
By far.
How did I get her?
I'm still obsessed with that character 30 years later.
You need to go on Sunday.
I should go.
Florida Theater at 2 p.m.
Okay, also Sunday at the Seawalk Pavilion, saxophonist Eric Darius coming in.
Yes, it is at the... Did you just say Seawalk? I'm still a little flustered because
you met Gallagher.
Because I turn around the corner and there's Gallagher.
He didn't bring the Sledge-O-Matic with him, which is a disappointment because I was hoping for watermelons to be destroyed in Studio 5.
I saw him when I was in high school and we had
the
plastic...
I don't think he does it anymore. Yeah, the plastic...
No, I asked. I'm not going to get into it.
What did he tell you?
He can tell you himself.
Ah, we're just have to keep listening.
Right outside.
Yeah, with friends.
Yes.
With Artie Fletcher and Bob Nelson.
Yes.
They are the modern day Marx Brothers, I'm told. So it's going to be good stuff.
I wonder which one's Harpo.
By the way, let's plug thespectator.com where you can learn about all of these events.
We had a few glitches.
Few glitches?
So we're not quite ready yet.
So you're in the beta phase.
It's going to be so amazing. It's going to be worth the wait. As a matter of fact, I just did an interview with the fake mayor. When is he going to reveal himself?
Oh, the satirical Twitter account?
At Jack's Mayor Brown? Yes.
I don't know, but I'll have to look for that on your new website.
He's revealing himself. That sounds weird. He's revealing himself to you and only you.
Well, yeah, he did promise that. We'll have to see if that actually takes place.
He put it on Twitter. It's going to happen.
All right.
If it's on Twitter, it's going to happen.
Also on Twitter, Gallagher, he's up next with friends.
Gallagher!
She's on Twitter, too. Follow Carrie at The Spectator. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you, Melissa.
I'm back in a moment.
on the next Fresh Air, we'll talk about the Supreme Court marriage equality decision with Mary Bonato, one of the attorneys who argued before the Supreme Court and who helped devise the state-based strategy that led to the overturning of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Also with us will be Evan Wolfson, one of the architects of the marriage equality movement. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT, 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
What can a Big Mac do for you? Oh, more than you'd think.
He was driving up that morning from San Diego with a friend, and they wanted to try to sneak into the Super Bowl and ask if I was willing to join them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Yes, a fringe benefit with your Happy Meal. It's next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m.
Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Welcome back, finally, this hour with dozens of TV credits between them. The trio known as the modern-day Marx Brothers are all on one stage tonight and this weekend at the Comedy Club of Jacksonville. It's a pleasure to welcome the stars of Gallagher's Jokes on You toward Studio 5 as we welcome Gallagher, Artie Fletcher, and Bob Nelson. Guys, a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
You're like the best-looking female person on the radio I've ever seen. Seriously, we've done radio all over the place.
Can you come back tomorrow and do a full hour on this program?
I think
for the next 2 weeks, it's you guys.
God, you are just gorgeous.
Aw, you guys are so nice.
I mean, I'm buying advertising. I have nothing to push.
Gallagher, let's start with you. Now,
Gallagher again. Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I got to ask him the first question. This is really exciting to have you in town and in studio. I'm a fan. I've been a fan for years. How'd this tour come together?
Accidentally.
So
I've never worked with any other comedians. I want to be the first one to talk to everybody. That's the best energy in the room.
Right.
But Artie and I fell in love at first sight, and he had Rain Pryor.
Yeah, she was the original.
Richard Pryor's daughter, sure.
Which is a lot better look at than Gallagher.
But she had a television gig or something.
Yes.
And he plugged me in, and bye-bye, Rain.
And then it became you three.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but the funny story is they wanted to put Judy Tenuta with us, and Bob refused.
Why'd you refuse that, Bob?
Well, she's very needy.
Gallagher's not.
You guys are low maintenance.
We are sharing people, and that's what I think is missing in comedy, is that each one wants the mic and their own focus, but we will work with each other. So it's like a hell's a poppin' atmosphere that anything could happen from one, two, and three different areas, and that's exciting, and it's a fun cocktail party.
Very nice. Well, tell us a little bit about the show, because, of course, we've known and loved your act for years. You've smashed watermelons on stage.
Been there, done that.
We're not doing that anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that.
You're still doing that.
But it's in between. It's part of, Bob's doing his classic routines.
He plays football.
I play football. Number 72, that's me. No, wait, 27. My shirt's on inside
and
out.
And the one about the duck also. Yeah, they love that.
It's sort of like, it is like the Marx Brothers. Gallagher is Groucho. And then we have Chico over here.
You're Chico. Yeah,
and I'm Harpo.
You're
because
Harpo.
I'm very visible.
Very nice.
But kind of quiet.
You know how we explain this to you? Okay, first you got three multi-talented guys. Seriously, okay?
I believe it.
This is not three guys going on stage. Okay, Gallagher, you go first.
Right.
Bob, you go second. 80% of the time we are on stage together, okay? You got three guys that are all known for something. I mean, we are so animated. The show is quick. You don't want to go to the bathroom. You don't want to leave. It's just unbelievable.
And how much of this is off the cuff ad-libbed? How much is scripted? All of it.
All of it.
It's
right.
Total improv.
I've done 4,000 shows. They are both experienced comedians, too. We've been there and done that. We're trying something new. This is new entertainment. This is something happening. Get out of your house. Don't watch TV. Forget about the old way that entertainment used to be. Just spend the time with three crazy guys in a room with alcohol.
And we're relying more on our experience.
That sounds fun to
me. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
We're relying more on our experience than we are on the material.
Right.
Okay.
So because the material comes out of the experience.
You can see this show on Broadway. This is this kind of show, et cetera. In fact, the people who handle us are producers, Broadway producers. That's who handles the show.
So what are your hopes for this tour? I mean, we've seen the blue-collar comedy guys go around. We've seen the original Kings of Comedy. They had success.
All did it like a tag team where one would entertain and then the other one would entertain.
No, we don't do that.
We don't let a comedy talent sit in a dressing room while the other one works by themselves.
You're all together.
Right.
So it's like the Rat Pack.
Yeah, but you just... You know what's funny?
In a way.
You just said something very interesting about... You just named those. Okay. First of all, we're accomplished actors. Okay. The three of us. Okay. I'm more into the acting, maybe more than these two, okay? But between the three of us, those other tours didn't have that, okay? Blue Collar had, well, you might be a redneck. We don't do, there's no hook like that.
Uh-huh.
We're inviting you to our party.
That's right. And
you better be part of the party.
So it's not the Marx Brothers. You guys are like, it's more like the Rat Pack.
And it's
You're Frank, you're right. Dino, and you're Sammy.
Look, we have five heart attacks between the three of us. Who can say
you're
that?
You're still here.
We're here for a short stint this week. Anyway.
I'm more of a Joey Bishop anyway.
No, you're the talking mime.
The talking mime.
That's right. Now, let me ask you, and by the way, I learned this morning that your first name, Gallagher, is actually Leo. Should I call it
that? I didn't know that.
Leo?
No.
No, don't go by that.
Nobody knows
you,
Leo.
You actually did have a heart attack. You were even in a medically induced coma.
Still is.
But sure, you recovered and you went back out on the road. That's pretty incredible.
My kids were tired of me. And so I'm just pretending I'm busy getting some money, but basically I'm just out there being busy and not having to bother my kids while they have their lives. No, I think what people should notice about this show is that it's in the moment. It's in the now. And dogs and babies and drunks all understand that. That I mean, you don't want to sit there and say, well, he doesn't realize that we're not interested in this. If we feel like the audience not interested, we're going to switch and do something else.
We'll move on.
It might be physical comedy. It might be...
Stand up.
Whatever Artie's doing back in the back of the room with a mic. The whole room is the stage.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So it's instead of a live show, it's a live show.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a living, breathing entity in itself.
It is. Bob still does the character that he's known for, okay? All the HBO specials.
Yeah, and you guys, between the three of you, you've dozens of specials and television credits.
He's got 14 Showtime specials.
Right, amazing record, all three of you.
But we're going to be using our talents in a new way, unselfishly entertaining the best we can. That group that's there, you know, a Thursday night group is different than Saturday night.
Yeah.
They have to go to work the next day. They went to work that day. Friday people are really in a bad mood. Full moon, I don't know where the moon's going to be. I don't know. You know, people have different moods. Audiences have different feel, and we're going to go with that so we succeed.
And this is the only club that we're doing. We don't do clubs. We do theaters and casinos.
Yeah. So it's at the Comedy Club of Jacksonville on Beach Boulevard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a
relatively new club in town. So it sounds like Saturday night. Every night is going to be good, but I think Saturday night it's going to
be a
little
crazy. Okay,
listen,
we're in Jacksonville. Come on, let's be honest.
No, I would come. Let's be honest. I would come Thursday because.
Oh, you would?
Right. I don't, you know, Saturday people only go out once a week, but Thursday night people.
They're serious.
Well, of course they're going out Saturday night, but they squeezed us in on Thursday night. I like a Thursday
night.
We
had the party going on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. You pick it, you come, and I know there's some tickets left, so.
Oh, yeah,
don't miss this. I'm telling you.
There will be times when there's one person on stage because we eventually have to empty our bladders.
Well, either that or him and I got to pump up with oxygen. See, we don't have a tour manager. We have a nurse. You can have that one.
He's looking at you like I already thought of that one.
He gives me dirty
looks. No, I didn't.
Every day.
That's why we have Artie. Only Artie would think of that.
You guys, everybody listening, go see this amazing show, The Legendary Gallagher. It's the Gallagher's Jokes on
your tour with Gallagher, Artie Fletcher, and Bob Nelson. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Thank you. And if there's any woman with low self-esteem, I would be the one.
Now, you're going to recognize Artie from his work on TV on
Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
That's right. Yeah.
I used to be a Chippendale. I'll laugh.
They almost cast you for that skit with Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze, right?
I'm a Clydesdale now, but anyway.
Chippendale at Walt Disney, by the way.
Get your tickets now for this Gallagher.
We're old. You might not want to miss this.
Jokes on You tour. Tickets now at jacksonvillecomedy.com, jacksonvillecomedy.com. Gallagher, Artie, Bob, thanks for being here, guys. It's a pleasure. Have fun.
Thank you. This has been more than a thrill. This has been an inconvenience.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Diane Reams up next. I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow for a Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.